Well, the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Have you ever been to maybe a large city, much larger than the city of Windsor? Have you been to a large city, maybe like New York, a big bustling town, maybe a metropolis? Have you ever been to one of those cities where the sidewalks are very wide and they seem to be packed with people coming and going? You ever been to a city like that where, you know, the crosswalk light turns green and you just pack shoulder to shoulder, everybody crossing over at the same time, every ethnicity, every background, people going every which way, everybody on their own mission? If you haven't been to a big city like that, maybe you can picture it, obviously. You've seen movies and things like this where you understand what such a scene might be like. Imagine for a moment that you're in a town like that, a city like that, I should say, and you're on a busy street corner, and all of a sudden you heard a loud female voice calling. I mean, loud, penetrating, everybody can hear it, dominating. What she's saying is very direct and loud and even scathing. And so you spend a moment to hear what she's saying, and you realize that her message is something like this. How long, fools? How long, you simpletons? How long are y'all determined to continue in your stupidity? How long are you mockers and scoffers going to behave like ignorant fools? Can you imagine hearing a message like that? How long are you going to live like you love being stupid and hate knowledge? Could you imagine hearing somebody just yelling that out over this crowd of people? And of course, most people, yeah, there's some noise there, okay, but they just keep going on about their life. Everybody can hear her, but nobody responds to her. Everybody keeps going their own way. Men and women, young and old, hearing her message, but never stopping. But she's relentless. So day after day, she maybe comes to that street corner, or she goes to other street corners, goes to the busiest intersections and most prominent locations in the city, and says the same thing, raising her voice. How long, fools? How long, you simpletons? How long are you going to go on being stupid? How long are you mockers and scoffers determined to keep behaving like ignorant fools? How long are you going to live like you love being stupid and hate knowledge? And day after day, another street corner, another intersection, another busy concourse. And you think, well, who is this woman? Some of you might already know who this woman is. She's found in Proverbs chapter 1. And so look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Who is this? This is wisdom personified. Wisdom personified. And she's crying out because there's an urgent need. There's an urgent need that some realize their need for wisdom. She's crying out because without wisdom, many are in danger of suffering dire consequences. She's crying out because she knows that she possesses the path of blessing. And those walking past her are really just headed, they're ignorant of the oncoming destruction, but they're just walking on a path to harm and destruction. And look what she says in verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. You're going to go on through life ignorant and foolish, rejecting divine wisdom, and then you are going to suffer the consequences of your own behavior, and wisdom is going to stand there and laugh. Told you so. I've been here all the time. I've been here for the taking, and you chose to do things your own way, thinking you have it all figured out, and now you have to lay in the bed that you've made, and you're just going to have to suffer. Now, why are we in the book of Proverbs? I thought we were talking about young men. Because if you read the rest of the book of Proverbs, you realize that wisdom's main target here and who she's primarily calling out to are young men. So as we're going to see in a moment, throughout the book of Proverbs, the address often is from a father to his sons. And so last week we began to see that there is somewhat of a war on masculinity. Me and Ryan were talking a little bit, and we said, you know, our culture, you know, you can never really make sense of Satan. Satan is, yes, he's intelligent, but he's also incoherent sometimes. I mean, there's incompatibilities in the world system. So on one hand, you have rabid femininity talking about the worth of females. On the other hand, you have a culture that's embraced the objectifying of women, right? And also when it comes to masculinity, on one hand, you have this talk of toxic masculinity. On the other hand, we celebrate, masculine man who abuses his masculinity, abuses women, objectifies women. And then you see that in the hero, the action hero. You see it in the hip hop artist, the misogynist, and so on. And so the culture embraces both of those things, which are polar opposites. They contradict one another. But nobody said that the culture has genuine wisdom, right? In fact, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And so we said there's a war on masculinity. Yes, there is. And maybe that war looks like falling in this ditch over here or this ditch over here. But there's a war on masculinity, biblical masculinity. And we said that young people today have very little avenue for genuine masculinity. They're being told that what they are naturally is toxic to society. And so young men in some avenues are driven to retreat inwardly. Ideas of competition and leadership and being a breadwinner and so on are looked down upon. Young men are misbehaving. They're misapplying their masculinity. We said that healthy cultures throughout history have recognized the value of young men and their inherent value to society. And we even looked at how God has used young men throughout his kingdom to change the world. And we suggested that young men are to channel the characteristics of their masculinity towards the positives. That is, for all the negative abuses of masculinity, if you were to couple those things with the fear of the Lord and bring those things under self-control, there's an amazing potential within a young man. But we said young men need training and discipline. They need training and discipline. They need self-control. That's what Titus chapter 1, verse 6 says. Or chapter 2, verse 6 says. Well, I said to you last week that God has valued young men and that he's used young men. And it almost sometimes looks like he prefers to use young men. And so it's no surprise then that he's given us an entire book devoted to the purpose of training up young men to develop self-control so that they can be used for his glory. The book of Proverbs. It's a book that communicates the keys to a blessed life. And I want you to understand that we're going to focus on young men this morning. This obviously applies to all, and the book of Proverbs is for all. But we will definitely see a certain emphasis. The book of Proverbs is a book which communicates the keys to a blessed life. Through the understanding and application of the truths taught in that book, one can gain skill and expertise just in life, in living. And so the book offers insights and direction which enable one to make far wiser decisions than they would make if they were relying simply upon their own insights or ideas. And so what makes the book of Proverbs incredibly valuable is the fact that it's not simply a collection of wisdom from wise men, though it is that, but it's more than that. What the book of Proverbs is, it's divinely inspired. It's a divinely inspired book which actually offers wisdom from God. In fact, the Bible says, the book of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so to receive the wisdom which is contained in the book of Proverbs, first we say, Lord, I fear you. I'm conscious of you. I believe that you are the creator of life. And because you're the creator of life, not only the authority over life, but you're the author of life. And so you know the best way to live out our humanity. And so we embrace the wisdom that you share with us in your word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's the creator. He's the expert on human nature. God's the expert in human existence. And as I said, since he's the author of life, he's also the authority on how life works and how best to live life. And so those who would come and be wise first acknowledge that. God knows far better than I do my own self. He knows far better than I do how relationships ought to work. He knows far better than I do how to live a blessed and satisfied life. And so I put down my own pride and I say, Lord, teach me. Well, the book of Proverbs serves that purpose. So he's inspired the book. He's included it in the canon of Scripture so that his people can have an incredibly practical guidebook for life in this world. And so in it, he gives us principles which govern things like friendships and finances and marriage and sex and parenting and many character issues, integrity, honesty, justice, discipline. He deals with the consequences of many sins, like envy and gluttony and greed and slander, the misuses of the tongue and adultery and pride, and lust, laziness. It's all in there. And, you know, this is important for us because, you know, when you're spending hours on YouTube watching Jordan Peterson trying to get wisdom for living, it's like, well, you know, God's got something for you here, too. The book of Proverbs is packed. In fact, if you listen close enough, you'll see much of the thoughts of Jordan Peterson are rooted in very biblical ideas. A wonderful feature of this wisdom is the ability to recognize and avoid the common pitfalls and dangers in life. And so, you know, we talk about this all the time. Parents with their teenagers, you know, just listen to me. Just, you know, embrace these principles. Put these guardrails in your life. Have these standards and things will go well with you. Right. That's what we say to our kids. Things will go well with you. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Have these values, have these pursuits, have these priorities, behave this way with others. Boys behave this way with women. Women behave this way with the men. You know, he's trying to give wisdom and things will go well with you if you just listen to us. I mean, that's kind of the tone of the book of Proverbs. And then the young person says, well, you know what you're talking about. You're old, you know, I know better. And so they're going to do things their own way. Well, if the principles that you're trying to pass on are rooted in the unchangeable laws of life, like the book of Proverbs, those who reject such wisdom are going to suffer consequences. Yeah, and then when they get older, they will realize, okay, what I could have learned simply by humbling myself and receiving the wisdom from others, I rejected. And so I didn't come to a full knowledge of those things until I suffered the consequences of going my own way. Well, the book of Proverbs is here so that we can avoid those common pitfalls and dangers. It's kind of like the head start, right? It's like, let me give you some insight for this life you're living. And if you'll just take heed here, you won't have to learn these things by experience or consequence. Just live this way and things will go well with you. God's the author of life. And so it makes sense to submit to what he tells us about how to live life. And so, unsurprisingly, a heavy emphasis in the book of Proverbs is, in fact, a need for self-control that we began to see in Titus last week. And so this helps us to see why, helps us to see the need to consider this book as we focus on the need for young men to have self-control. Now, what is the wisdom and self-control connection? The wisdom and self-control connection. Essential to wisdom. We're going to define wisdom in a minute here. Essential to wisdom is understanding how our own impulses and natural fallen tendencies can lead us into trouble. It's a matter of wisdom to know when and how to control your tongue and to control your pride and to control your temper and to control your drinking and to control your spending and to control your sex drive. And it's all here in the book of Proverbs. It's a matter of wisdom to recognize the limitations of our own knowledge and discernment. It's a matter of self-control, to submit to the wise counsel of others instead of assuming we know it all. It is wisdom to recognize the limitations of human nature and our absolute need for divine guidance in life. And everything I just said requires self-control. And so really what it is we are bringing our natural impulses under control, submitting them to God, and saying, God, teach me, teach me. And so, because the book of Proverbs focuses on wisdom, and wisdom in large part deals with self-control, again, the emphasis of Proverbs is young men. So a little sampling for you. Proverbs 1:8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Proverbs 2:1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. 3:21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep wisdom and discretion. 4:10. My son, hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. 4:20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. 6:20. My son, keep your father's commandments. Forsake not your mother's teaching. 7:1. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Jump ahead. 23:15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. 23:19. Hear, my son, and be wise and direct your heart in the way. 23:26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. 24:21. My son, fear the Lord and the King and do not join with those who do otherwise. Is that enough? You get the point. What a book. And so we are given an entire divinely inspired book for the purpose of training up young men to be wise. And so this book lays out exactly what wisdom is, including what blessings wisdom brings, what consequences wisdom avoids. It instructs us on the source of wisdom, the value of wisdom, the cost of wisdom, and how genuine wisdom from God differs from the world's wisdom. And so a common theme throughout the book of Proverbs is wisdom versus folly. And so the hope, and the hope for us at Calvary, is that through the reading and passing on of the book of Proverbs, young men will develop a deep-seated desire to be wise, and consequently will apply the instructions and take heed to the warnings contained therein. They will develop a conscience formed by divine morality and a mind directed by God's wisdom. And so then what? They'll live a blessed life for their good, the good of society, the good of their families, and for the glory of God. And so the recognition is, if such a desire is lit within the heart of a young man, he will, as a matter of course, live a self-controlled life. And so one of the big emphases in the book of Proverbs, and we'll get to this next week or the week after as we deal with Proverbs, is the value. I mean, at one point, the book simply says, if you get anything, young man, I mean, if you get anything, get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Let's look at it, and we're going to make some definitions here of wisdom and see how far we get this morning. So what is wisdom? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Let's read it. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. And you understand this is the purpose of the book, right? I mean, this is the introduction here. It's the purpose of the book. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And so there in those six verses, we have really the purpose of this book. And it starts out by saying to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. That young people would. This is more than a head knowledge. To know wisdom and instruction. This speaks of young people becoming acquainted with and embracing wisdom and instruction. That word instruction is used 50 times in the Old Testament, and 30 of those times it's in the book of Proverbs. The word instruction is not simply sit down and let me teach you something. The word instruction brings heavy connotations of discipline and correction and chastisement. And so to know wisdom and instruction, for a young person to know wisdom and instruction, is really to submit to that type of training. It's to submit to the correction and discipline and reproof that's inevitably associated with wisdom. In other words, the wise young person does not think they have it all figured out. My parents don't know what they're talking about. The preacher doesn't know what they're talking about. Okay, I'm just going to do things my own way and everything will be fine. Listen, if you're going to embrace wisdom, first and foremost, you have to confess, I don't have it all figured out, and there's some things in my life that need to be corrected. There's some things in my thinking that need to be corrected, and my values and priorities that need to be corrected, and I submit to that type of correction, and even chastisement, and reproof, and rebuke. That's what the word means. And so the purpose of Proverbs is so that young people would decide, I need to be corrected, informed, and shaped. That is, as we learn what are the right ways to think, naturally we learn where we have it wrong. We become face to face with those areas in which we may be out of control. That's a hard process. But understand, the idea here is, you know, you think about a young person enrolling themselves in a gym or maybe even enlisting in the army. It's the idea of submitting themselves to the rigors of that exercise and discipline. That's the idea with the book of Proverbs. You start in chapter 1 and read all the way through and take this in and make it a matter of course to say, I want to implement these things. I want to understand them and I want to change according to the book. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard discipline. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father of the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. And the one who refuses to pursue wisdom at the end of his life, Proverbs 5:11, and at the end of your life you groan, when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, oh, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. Now listen, young people, that's the word of God, right? Like, if you think your parents don't know a whole lot, you think your teachers don't know a whole lot, okay. I mean, this is the word of God, however. And so God's given us a divinely inspired and divinely authoritative book that's trying to tell you, listen to your teachers. You like that, don't you, Leah? If you could just do that in public school, right? Listen to your teachers. Listen to your instructors. Listen to your parents. Be willing to be reproved. Be willing to be disciplined. In short, a young person who would attain wisdom must, and we're going to see this next week probably, must be teachable. Must be teachable. And you see that theme of teachability all throughout the book of Proverbs. The idea that you try to correct a fool doesn't go so well. But you correct a wise person and they receive it. So one purpose of the book is that young people would develop moral and mental skill so that it would go well with them in life. So that they might be blessed by God. Further, a purpose of the book is that young people would learn to embrace the inevitable correction and discipline and rebuke, which is necessary if they are to be divested of their wrong thinking and behavior. So, a purpose, to know wisdom and instruction. And then what does it say next? To understand words of insight. That's verse 2. To understand words of insight. That is a desired goal in the training of young people, is that they would develop for themselves the ability to understand what is wise and what is folly. Both those words, understanding and insight, come from the same root word, which speaks of discernment. Discernment. The idea is that a young person would grow and develop to the point where they don't need to have the hand of a parent or the hand of a teacher, and hopefully not the hand of the police officer or the judge, on their shoulder, trying to tell them at every step, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, okay, this is okay. No, the idea is that through something like the book of Proverbs, that young person is trained up so that the book of Proverbs becomes that hand on the shoulder, that inner conscience and that mental awareness that says, this is good, these principles are right, this is the decision that should be made. That's discernment. That's discernment. Doesn't have to be continually directed by others. Doesn't have to always be told what is right and wrong, what decision to make at every turn. Sure, during the formative years, but eventually to have their own discernment. And so the wise young person as a head full of divine principles and a heart full of devotion, so that he or she makes wise decisions by discerning or distinguishing between right and wrong and wisdom and folly. And you know, raising up young people, especially, you know, maybe a young couple gets married and you hear some of the decisions they're making and so on. And you just sit back and you say, oh, it's probably not going to end well, but you got to let them figure that out. Right. But then you have the wise young person who by faith accepts biblical principles and makes decisions based upon those things, even though in and of themselves they might not see it. But by faith, they believe that God has wisdom for daily life. And so they trust his principles. And so the purpose of the book, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. Next of all, verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing. To receive instruction in wise dealing. It simply means being successful in life through the practical application of wisdom, especially in our dealings with others. And to deal wisely in life with others requires what? Well, it says righteousness, justice, and equity. A person of integrity dealing well with others. The book of Proverbs will give that direction. Next of all, it says the purpose of the book is to, verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. To give prudence to the simple. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. Where have we seen that word simple before? Well, we saw it in the introduction. Wisdom is crying out to the simple. How long will you love your simplicity? The book of Proverbs is given so that those simple ones would not forever be simple. So there's hope here, isn't there? To give prudence to the simple. The word prudence actually brings with it the idea of shrewdness or cunning. Most times in the Bible, that word is translated in the negative. Somebody who's cunning. Somebody who's scheming. But the idea here is different. It offers a positive. That is, the wise young person develops a clever awareness. A clever awareness. He or she will become analytical. Perceptive. This means that you can kind of assess a situation, perceiving potential dangers or outcomes. Oh, I see what's going on here. I see where this is going. And then can plan to respond in a way that brings the best result. And so this is that idea, this prudence, is the idea of skillfully assessing the lay of the land, predicting the outcomes, and responding accordingly. Prudence. It also mentions there knowledge and discretion. Knowledge and discretion. Through knowledge, you make wise decisions regarding how to behave or respond, yes. But again, notice who's mentioned, the simple. And what you're going to notice if you study the book of Proverbs is the book of Proverbs is all about parallelism. And so sometimes you don't take the time to do all the word study like this because there's parallel lines and really they're synonymous. They're referring to the same thing. They're just given for emphasis. And so you see that here as well. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And so what's parallel there? Well, the simple and the youth. The assumption being that young people by nature, you know, we don't want to be rude, but by nature, you just don't have a lot of experience. And so the simple and the youth, silly, naive, foolish, easily enticed, gullible. The encouragement here is that such people, and frankly, young or old, can overcome simplicity by embracing the wisdom contained in the word. And of course, the latter part of the verse parallels simple with youth. Well, that's not to say that anybody, you say, well, I'm not a youth. That means I'm not simple. I'm good to go. Nobody has arrived, right? Nobody has arrived. Everybody here could benefit from the book of Proverbs. You see that in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. You have the learning. Well, increase in learning. And the one who understands, obtain guidance. So those who are wise and those who understand, sit down and listen because you're going to increase. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So let's summarize. Wisdom, basically skill for living. The ability to make wise choices, especially even when we don't see a clear command telling you exactly what to do. Wisdom is the ability to synthesize what you know about God and what you know about what God has said about human nature and what God has said about how life works and what God requires of you to synthesize all of those things and then to make wise decisions based upon what you know. Decisions consistent with all of that. Well, what next? We know that young people, just simply by age, lack that sort of wisdom. Sure, they might come to the knowledge and wisdom through experience, but often that comes with hurt. So the idea is that first they would learn from their parents or instructors who want to equip them through wisdom to avoid those mistakes and consequences. And lastly, in summary, the book of Proverbs is given for the very purpose of passing that wisdom on to young people with a heavy emphasis upon young men. Young men. So, young men, are there any here today? A couple. Young men, and you know this applies to you, young women, as well, right? Do you want guidance in life? Do you want guidance in life? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Says, my son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Now look what will happen if you embrace wisdom this way. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Now that's an amazing passage. It's saying that when you embrace wisdom, the wisdom that's passed on to you, there's incredible benefits. It says that when you walk by the way, they will lead you. What's the they there? The father's commandment and the mother's teaching. And the father's commandment and mother's teaching, in general, sure, okay, but really it's reflecting the father's commandment and the mother's teaching contained in the book of Proverbs, because that's what they ought to be passing on. When you walk, they will lead you. That's the wisdom. The wisdom will lead you. You'll have a greater ability to make wise decisions in life. I don't know what to do. I don't know what decision to make. Well, you've been taught a whole lot of good principles and values, haven't you? Those are going to help you decide your next steps in life. Life's decisions are made so much easier when you know what you believe, right? I mean, when you know right from wrong, when you have established convictions regarding what you will and will not do, when you are committed to live a principled life, shaped by biblical teaching. I mean, when you have that conviction and that knowledge, so many life decisions become crystal clear. You don't have to debate or deliberate about so many of those things because you know, well, that's completely off limits. I'm definitely not going to respond that way. And that's inconsistent with this biblical principle. And that would violate my conviction here. And so my decision becomes very obvious. When you walk, wisdom will lead you. If you have this sort of practical wisdom, it is as if you have a personal instructor just guiding you along the way. That's the value of wisdom. It says that when you walk, they will lead you. And it says when you lie down, they will watch over you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. What does this mean? It means that when you live a life making wise choices, you live the principled life that we've already mentioned, you're going to be able to pillow your head at night with a clear conscience, without fear and anxiety over the consequences of your bad living coming home to roost. And I don't know if you've experienced this, maybe even before your salvation, but you know, you get into your relationships aren't good. Maybe you've gotten in arguments with other people. You know that you've done wrong. You're making some dumb choices. You've made some bad financial choices, whatever it may be, and you lose sleep. I mean, you just have it in the pit of your stomach, just that feeling like things aren't right. I've done wrong, and now I got to suffer the consequences of this thing. What this passage is saying is that when you live a wise life, following God's instructions for life, you're going to be able to pillow your head at night, and it's as if that wisdom is watching over you, giving you a peaceful rest. When you lie down, they will watch over you, offer that protection to you. Proverbs 3:21 says, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Wisdom personified in Proverbs 1:33 again says, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. That is, there's a natural peace that possesses the soul of the one who lives according to God's wisdom. Proverbs 2:9 says, "Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech." You get the idea. Safety, security, peace. And next of all, in Proverbs 6, it says, when you awake, they will talk with you. What's the they there again? The commandments, the instruction, the wisdom. They will talk with you. Again, the picture being that you have a constant companion. A constant companion and a constant counselor. Because you have set your heart upon gaining and living in wisdom, you have continual guidance. You have an internal voice. Your conscience is formed by the Word of God. Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands what? Obtain guidance." So what will it take to have this type of guidance and peace and security? Well, look at Proverbs 6:23. "For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." And so I submit. Reprove me. Correct me. Put me through the ringer. Show me where I'm wrong. Change my priorities. Change my values. Change my pursuits. Submit to the Word of God. Receive it with meekness. And then you'll have all those benefits. And so, if young men are to be self-controlled, and by extension, all believers, we're going to see that in conclusion. If young men are to be self-controlled and everything else God has called them to be, they must possess a wholehearted determination to attain wisdom from God. And we're going to learn more about this in the coming weeks. And so, young men, would you be wise? Do you have a desire to live life as God designed it? Understanding that He's the author of life, and so He's the authority on how it must be lived? Well, then listen up. Are you willing to pursue wisdom with determination and discipline? Are you willing to devote yourself to learning what God has to say about attitudes and affections and behaviors and relationships? Are you willing to be corrected and rebuked and disciplined and to submit to the instructions of His Word? Are you willing to declare that you don't have life figured out, that your personal wisdom is likely folly and that you need Him to guide your life? Your answer to those questions will determine the entire direction and end of your life. Well, how does this all start? That's what we're going to see in the coming weeks, and we're just about done here. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't do any of this just for, I just want practical guide for living. No, it starts with saying, "Lord, I want to live as You would have me live." Well, look in conclusion here, and I want you to turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because I want you to understand that as believers this morning, this is not a matter of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and go and try to figure out how to become wise. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26. And Paul here is describing the community of the church. He's also contrasting, if you've been coming on Wednesday nights, the idea of the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. He's contrasting wisdom and folly, just like we see all throughout the book of Proverbs. And look at what he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And understand that this is referencing all of us, not just young men, but all believers. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." The ultimate source of wisdom for us is where? It's in the person of Jesus Christ. And there is no divine wisdom unless you first come to Christ. And if you are in Christ, you understand that He is that wisdom for us. You have the ability to grow in the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ has become wisdom to you. He's going to empower you to attain that wisdom through your progressive sanctification. You have everything you need to grow in wisdom. And Jesus Christ is the source, and He is the example, and He is the empowerment for that. And we recognize we're fully and absolutely dependent upon Him as we pursue this wisdom. And so thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to continue this topic next week. and think more about what it means for young men to be self-controlled and to have wisdom. And of course, it's going to apply to everybody. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the practicality of your word. As we survey the book of Proverbs and see the emphasis, as we're told, if we get anything, to get wisdom. We're told the value of wisdom above all things. I pray you would give us a deep-seated, wholehearted desire and determination to grow in your wisdom. But Lord, we're quick to say we understand that Proverbs is not just a book of human wisdom or earthly proverbial sayings or skills in life, but we understand all of this begins with a fear of the Lord, with a healthy fear of you. And so we recognize this is your book that you've inspired, giving direction for life as you've designed it. And so help us first to submit to you and then to submit to your word. And then, Lord, we recognize that you have provided for us wisdom, that Jesus Christ has become to us wisdom. What a clear picture of divine wisdom to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to see his life and see his death, to see the message of the cross. What a clear, distinct picture we see, the contrast between the world's wisdom and your wisdom. And so from that starting point of understanding the Lord Jesus Christ and how he represents wisdom to us, help us to reject the world's wisdom and to embrace divine wisdom. So help us as a church in the coming weeks to learn and to study, to apply and to be changed. And I just pray for our young people. I pray that they would develop the commitment, the conviction, to submit themselves to your word. And then for us as parents, help us be diligent in passing on your commands and your principles to our children, so that we can say, like the writers of Proverbs, encouraging our children to submit to the father's commandments and the instruction of the mother. I pray that we could say that with confidence in our own homes, because we know that what we're teaching is right and good and consistent with your word. Lord, we thank you for all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.